We have an awesome guy preaching this morning. If you don't know him, his name's Pastor Kerry.
Yeah, good idea.
And he's bringing his series, second of the series. So
thanks, pal. Good idea. Morning, church. I'm going to speak on this morning as love is the key, number two, and loving with our words. And I just want to pray first so we can get into the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we just invite you right now to indwell in and around us. Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit, you will make us attentive to what you want us to hear this morning. Lord, I pray, empty myself of myself right now. And Holy Spirit, fill me afresh that I may speak with your heart, may I see with your eyes. And Lord, may I deliver your message the way you want it to be delivered. We just pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this guy was his first day on the job. He was a new employee in a fruit and veg department of a big supermarket. A lady came up to him and said that she wanted to buy half a head of lettuce. Not cabbage, but half a head of lettuce. He tried to dissuade her from that goal, but she persisted. Finally, he said, well, I'll have to go back and talk to the manager. He went to the rear of the store to talk to the manager, but noticing that the woman was walking right behind, didn't notice that the woman was walking right behind him. When he got to the back of the store, he said to the manager, there's some stupid old bag out there who wants to buy half a head of lettuce. What should I tell her? Seeing the horrified look on the face of the manager, he turned around and seeing the woman, he added, and this nice lady wants to buy the other half of the head of lettuce. Will that be all right? Considerably relieved, the manager said, that would be fine. Well, later in the day, he congratulated the boy on his quick thinking and he asked, where are you from, son? And the boy said, well, I'm from Melbourne, Australia, the home of beautiful AFL players and ugly women. And the man just looked at him and said, my wife is from Melbourne. And the boy said, oh, what team did she play for? Now that is thinking on your feet, isn't it? Most of us wouldn't have been so fortunate. But what if the words were never said in the first place? One of the most important ways to learn to love God and others is with the words that we choose to use. And the Bible has a lot to say about this, and if you haven't studied it before, I've got the feeling it's a lot more to say about it than you probably think. And today we want to break down this topic into three categories. And I think this will help us get a better grasp on how important the words we use really are. So in your outline, the first we need to understand is the power of my words. Now, a lot of us have heard, so I'm just going to gloss over some of these things. You know, we live in a world where words are used very loosely, aren't they? Whether you realise it or not, your words have tremendous power. And consider the following three things before you open up your mouth. And we've got to consider these things because we have a tendency of opening up our mouths when the Holy Spirit is saying, shut your mouth. And we don't listen. In Proverbs 18:21, it says, the tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. Now, you can take this literally and figuratively because both are true. You know, a magistrate can sentence a person to death, or we can speak words of hate that cause a type of death to someone's well-being. And sometimes it's a word spoken in anger or a thoughtless remark that causes the most harm to those that we should be showing love to. But on the other hand, there are words that can be words of life, words of encouragement, words of truth, words that uplift, words that build on a person's self-worth, and most importantly, their own worth to God. Number two, our words reveal the condition of my heart. Matthew chapter 12, verse 34-35 says, "You brood of snakes, how could evil men like you speak what is good and right? For whatever is in your heart determines what you say. A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart." Wow. Think about that, what he's saying here. My words are a clear picture of who I am inside. My words, if my words are evil, then I have an evil heart. And if they are good, I have a good heart. What a great tool for self-examination and reflection. At the end of the day, try and write down which words were spoken to uplift and which words were spoken to drag someone down. Don't focus on the words others speak to you, but rather the words that you speak to others. Because we live in this world where there is a lot of negativity spoken out. How can we be light in this world? By exactly coming in the opposite spirit. And that is speaking words of life, words of encouragement, words of joy over people. And there are some times when we don't want to do that. We want to get sucked into the gossip. We want to get sucked into the finger pointing and name blaming. And it's horrible. But we all do it. Number three, my words will serve as evidence at judgment. Jesus gives us three very sobering truths here. In Matthew 12, 36 and 37 goes, "And I tell you this, you must give an account on judgment day for every idle word you speak. The words you say will either acquit you or condemn you." Now the words that we speak matter not just in the here and now, but then in the there and then. And we must learn to control our words and speak our words of life and encouragement and instruction and joy and faith. Now, I want you to do something for me right now. Because we can speak words now through the internet, through our phones, through our phone messaging. Because that's how the younger generation communicate now. And it's the same thing. You speak something or you type something out that's not right, that is horrible, that is just like you're saying it. And worst of all, they've got a record of it. It's like sending an email out. You know, if you want to write you want to punch out an email that's like, write it out, but then just don't send it. And then go back to it an hour later, after you've prayed about it, and said, "Lord, what would you say?" And I bet you it would be a lot different to what you've just said. I want you to do something for me now. I want you to, who's got a phone in this room? Don't worry, I'm not going to charge you $50 for missions. I want you to open your phone. I want you to go to your messages. I want you to spend 30 seconds just thinking of a person that you know fairly well that you can encourage. That you can encourage. You can just send a quick message right now. You can do this. Praying as you go. I just want you to say, "Hi, pal," or hi, whoever. And it might be a message of just an easy message saying, "You can do this. Love so-and-so," or "Bless you, so-and-so." Or "Praying as you go into surgery this week. You'll be okay." Or "Thanks for last night. Really enjoyed the company." Or "Just thinking about you. Just thinking about you and hope you're doing okay." Just something really short and simple. I want you to send it. Just a quick little note. Because the reason why I want you to do this, is that we are light in this community. We can bring joy and encouragement and uplift people, and we can do it through our phones. I can guarantee you that your reply might be, oh, gee, thanks. Or, wow, thank you for that. It means a lot. But you've just uplifted someone else. You've just sent out love from here out into the community. Now, some of them might respond, I thought you were in church. Thanks, Heath. Just got a message from Heath. Beautiful. Comes up on my iPad. We've got to be very careful how we use our words. Number two, the perversion of my words. Let's take a few moments here to discover why we're bent on using words, not of love, but of hate and wickedness. Okay, we can all sit here and go, oh, we're wonderful Christians. We don't speak words of hate and wickedness. We all do, okay? Now, if you get a message back from someone that says, thanks, I just want to see your hand. As I'm speaking, it doesn't matter, you can interrupt me, you can just put your hand up and shout out the response. Okay, number words. My words, your words, are naturally sinful. Okay? I want you to understand that. Our natural tendency, and mine, are to use words improperly. It's a part of a sinful nature that we all want to eradicate. James 3:6 says, and the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire, for it is set on fire by hell itself. These pretty strong words. Strong words from James to describe the severity of this problem. And when we realize that we come to natural, that it comes natural to us to use words of harm, it helps us both to recognize our problem and seek a solution to it, doesn't it? So my words are naturally uncontrollable. That's number two. My words are naturally uncontrollable. In James 3:7-8, it says, people can tame all kinds of animals. They can tame all kinds of birds and reptiles and fish, but no one can tame the tongue. It is restless and evil, full of what? Deadly poison. No one can completely control their tongue. That is, while they're still bound to a sinful nature. And you know what? A sinful nature can easily enter into you, into all of us at times, in times of stress and need. If we're not seeking God in everything that we do, if we're not putting Him first, and this is what I'm going to be preaching on this year, if we don't put Him first, we just allow the floodgates of the enemy of hell to come in and just wreck what we say and do and everything else in our lives. We've got to put God first in everything that we do. You know, the good news for us that in Christ we can overcome anything. And I am living proof of this. You know, I was known in the hills before I became a Christian as one of the foulest mouthed people. True. Every second word was a swear word. And I was very, very, and until I met Sally, I would. You know, I'd worked in the mining fields. I worked in the earth moving industry. I spent a lot of time in the nightlife, in the band scene. You know what? People can tell the difference now. My friends from that world can tell the difference. And the first thing they usually say to me is, wow, you don't swear anymore. But it's true. In Christ, we can overcome anything. And some of you may be battling battling with your words. You know, you might have come from a same industry as I. Look, hey, to be honest, there's times when a word may come out of my mouth that is not very edifying. And I had to, as I was doing this sermon this week, I had to ring up a couple of people and say, you know what, the other day, please forgive me, because I'm going to be speaking on the words we speak and I'll be looking like a hypocrite and you'll be looking at me saying, hey, you're a hypocrite. Because some of the words that I spoke to these people were not edifying. We've all got that tendency. But in Christ, we can overcome. And so if anyone here in this room that's struggling with your words, be known that Christ can deliver you from this. All right? Number three, my words are naturally hypocritical. You say one thing and you do something else. Parents, we're great at that, aren't we? Aren't we? I say I love and I hate. I say I worship God, yet I put down my fellow Christians. How many of you have ever put down a fellow Christian? Come on, be honest. How many of you have put down a fellow Christian? Yet we worship God. Got to stop doing it. James 3, 9 and 10 says, sometimes it praises our Lord the Father and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. So you're cursing an image of God. And so blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. And it's not. And I'm not going to spend any more time here because I think most of us, it's obvious to us. But also because I want us to get to the next point that we can end on a positive note. So number three, the potential of my words. Now, your words have great potential. If you're a Christian, then you have been empowered to leave behind the natural words of your sinful nature and speak words that will truly demonstrate your love for God and others. Now, some of you have a past like myself, and you often find times that you may struggle with things that come out of your mouth or even some things that you're thinking because your past will creep up on you. But it's how we control those thoughts and control what we speak out. And if you're not walking with God, it's going to be easy for things just to go blah. So number one, the potential for my words. I can ask for salvation. Romans 10, 9, 10 and 13. It says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Amen. I'm going to say that out again for those who are coming to church and have not yet given their lives to Christ. To become a Christian. If you confess your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God was raised from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it's by confessing with your mouth that you are saved. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Wow! Now, this is the first and the most important step of our use for words. We use our mouths to confess that Jesus is Lord, and not only of his creation, but of our individual lives. We are perfect creations. Each and every one of you, remember, who looked in the mirror this morning? And you laughed. Who looked in the mirror this morning and said, boom, boom. Boom, boom, chicka, wow, wow. Come on. Number two, I can pray to the Almighty God. I can use my tongue and pray and ask God to help me use words of love and kindness. I can use my tongue to let God to know that I love him. And Lord, I love you. It's easy as that. I can use my tongue to have a conversation with God. You know, God, at the moment, I'm in a real tough spot at work and I don't know what to do. You don't have to go, "Oh, hither thy, Lord, I just want to come to thee." You know, it's Lord, just you might be walking along, "Lord Jesus, just help me in this situation." And you know what the best thing is to do is to ask for his help, but then not just to continue going on in life, but just to actually just stop and listen. So, "Lord, I need your help in this." And I can guarantee you, something will fill your mind that is good and wise. But if we go, "Oh, Lord, I want you to help me with this. Hey, hi, how you going, mate? Yeah, all right, now good." We lose it. That's a one-way conversation. God wants a two-way. He wants to speak to us as well as us speak to him. I can use my tongue to have a conversation with God. Matthew 6:6, "But when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father who sees everything will" what? "Will reward you." Number 3, "I can worship God. Let everything that breathes sing praises to the Lord." Praise the Lord. You know, sometimes I come to church and I think, there's some people not breathing. "Let everything that breathes sing praises to the Lord." Praise the Lord. You know, it's easy to speak to someone that's not a Christian and just in your conversation slip in a quick, "Oh, praise the Lord." When he tells you some good news, "Oh, praise the Lord." Don't get all religious about it. They go, "Praise the Lord." Just say, "Praise the Lord." It's easy. Just let it slip from the tongue. It's Hebrews 13:15. "Therefore, let us offer through Jesus a continual sacrifice of praise to God, proclaiming our allegiance to his name." What did you do this morning? "Oh, I got up and, had a bit of a easy Sunday and..." "Oh, I went to the beach in the afternoon and had a really good time and all that." And we miss out. We miss out the blessing. You know, if you deny the Lord, and he should be a big part of your life, if someone asks you, "Oh, what did you do this weekend?" You say, "Oh, on a Saturday, I played cricket and broke my little finger." "Oh, thank you. I wanted that." But Sunday, man, you should have been in church. That preacher, man. Boy. But we sometimes leave church out of things, don't we? Just say to someone, "Oh, yeah, I was in church." You might get, "Oh, really? Okay." Or you might get, "Oh, really? What was that about? What did he speak about? Why are you here today?" We're here to offer up our praises to God, aren't we? Amen. And we're here to sing to him. We're here to pray to him. We're here to speak to him in the presence of the whole congregation. We come to worship God, and such a vital part of our worship comes from the way that we use the gift of speech in each other's presence. Number 4, "I can share the gospel." What better possible way I can use my tongue to show my love for God and for others than to use it to spread the message of the gospel? Now, some of you sent some messages out. Have you received any messages back from those people? You have? What was it? What was it? Just shout it out. "Your son told you you were amazing." You are. You are amazing. You got a big love heart from someone. Wow. Have you ever done that to them before? You have? Yeah, good. Anyone else got a message back? Yeah. Yeah, but he acknowledged it. How hard is it to say those sort of things face to face to him? Yeah, you can break the ice by using these forms of, whatever you call them, what do you call them, guys? Yeah, that text, whatever, yeah. Acts chapter 5, verse 42 says, now listen how the early church used their words, okay? And every day, in the temple and from the house to house, they continued to teach and preach this message. Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is the Messiah. Every day, in the temple and from house to house, that's what they taught and preached. In Romans 1, 15 to 16 says, I am eager to come to you in Rome to preach the good news. For I am not ashamed of the good news about Christ. It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes, the Jew first and then also to the Gentile. Now, did you see how this is the very opposite of who we were before we were Christians? Before we used to judge and condemn and put others down, but now in Christ we use our speech to give others the greatest news that they have ever seen or heard of. Just even by a simple little message. You know, hopefully like Alison, your brother will turn around to you when you see him next and go, hey, what was all that about? And that just opens up a new door of conversation, of expressing your love and God's love to your brother. You see, we've got to start thinking. You know, the Holy Spirit gives us so many tools. Don't be afraid to use them. I can encourage other people. In Isaiah chapter 50, verse 4 says, the sovereign Lord has given me his words of wisdom so that I know how to comfort the weary. Morning by morning, he wakens me and opens my understanding to his will. Now, I know that Isaiah would have woken up in the morning like Wigglesworth and did a little song and dance and praise and worship to the Lord and prayed to him. The first thing, he would have sought the kingdom first. It's like if you come here at 6 o'clock in the morning, you'll find one of our elders, Alan Grover, in here seeking the Lord first and the few others, Wayne and Lance. Seek first the kingdom of God. Opens up my understanding to his will. You know, God has specifically given us the ability to lift others up. And that's what we should be doing. This is one of the greatest ways you can show love in the way that you speak and spend time with others, encouraging them in their life. You know, we live in a world that is so often bleak and discouraging, and why not be the beacon and that light that to people that need to be lifted up? I can teach another one. I can teach my children. Deuteronomy 6:7 says, and you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commandments that I'm giving you today. Repeat them again and again and again and again and again and again and again to your children. Talk about them when you are at home and when you're on the road and when you're going to bed and when you're getting up. You know, sometimes it's very easy to, when you're dealing with children, just to go, look, just do that because I said so. Just give me a break. Just go in your bedroom. Just shut up. Blah, 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 blah. You know, I got to honor my wife. My wife, she'll sit them down and say, you know, what would God think of this? You know, what do we do as Christians here? What does the Bible say about these actions? She spends time with them, talking to them about how to live a godly life. I'm so thankful for that because I'm the other one. I don't know, he's got to imagine all this. What more productive and loving thing could we do with our words than to pass down wisdom to our children, grandchildren, nieces and nephews? And, you know, you guys that work, I mean, a lot of them are working up there now, but you guys that in here that work with our children in the church here, God bless you. Because, you know what, sometimes children in churches, that's the only time they get to hear the words of God and the ways of God is in church. So God bless you. And come to think of it, what types of words are our kids hearing coming out of our own mouths? Are they words from the natural man, like we looked at it earlier? Or are they words filled with grace, love, wisdom of God? Okay, sometimes they're not. Don't beat yourself up. But are predominantly the words that are coming from your mouths, the grace, peace and love. The last one, I can bless others. Listen to what the Lord shared with Moses in Numbers chapter 6, verse 22 to 27. It says, then the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron and his sons to bless the people of Israel with this special blessing. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show his favor and give you peace. Whenever Aaron and his sons bless the people of Israel in my name, I myself will bless them. Now, this church is known for blessing people. We are blessed people. We are blessed to be a what? Blessing. Do our words bring blessing or curses? Do we lift others up or do we bring them down? Do you want God to bless you? Of course we do. Well, to do that, bless others. You know, when someone walks away in a conversation with us, do they feel better or for worse? You know, my heart, I was speaking to someone this week, my heart is that anyone that comes onto this property, over 40 acres of this property, whether it be the school, whether it be the village, whether it be church or anything, my prayer is that they will leave this property better than the way they came in. And that is my heart. That is my duty. Anyone that comes on this property, I want them to leave with joy, with peace, with happiness. And sometimes someone may come to us with a gripe. I want them to leave filled and encouraged. Our words can either encourage or discourage. And I think our words should be like Paul's to the church of Corinth. In Corinthians chapter 13 or 2 Corinthians 13 and 14, it says, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen? Can I have the music team up, please? And as we close in today, I have some words I'd like to share with you. Every single one of you. So if someone's snoring, just nudge them. Tell them to wake up. Say, it's over. It's over. God loves you. No matter what you've done or what you've been involved with, he still loves you. God sent his son to die for you. Jesus died to pay the penalty of sin that you and I deserve because he, like his father, loved you so very much. God wants to bless your life by offering you the gift of spending eternity with him, of having all your sin and guilt removed, of knowing that one day your destiny will be in heaven with him. God wants you to make all of you filled with joy and peace and happiness. God wants to make you all that you can be here on this earth so that you can bless others and help bring more and more people into God's family. Those are uplifting words, words of life, words of truth. They are words that we need to take heart today as we walk away from this place. So far, you haven't been put to the test, but when you walk out this door this morning, you will have to decide which words you will use. Are they going to be of blessing, or are they going to be of cursing? You know, I'd love for all of us this year, because we're brothers and sisters, we are in one big, happy God's family, yeah? To be able just to be beacons of light through just the words of encouragement. You don't need to be religious, but just by encouraging each other. Instead of getting angry and coming out with the cuss words or the cursing words, come out in the opposite spirit. I teach my children, go in the opposite spirit. Go in the opposite spirit. A gentle answer will turn away what? Wrath. And it does. It works all the time. How good is God? How wise is He? Let's all stand. Let's just pray.